Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton of Vital Cog. Hear how I emphasize that, Stone? A Vital Cog.
I told you I'm going to get a badge that says that, Vital Cog. I'm going to wear it proudly on my lapel. I'm looking forward to that.
Do that. Well, the rest of it is Vital Cog at Business Radio X, and he even has his own show, High Velocity Radio. And this is when I usually say, good morning.
Well, good morning, sir.
Hey, you've been busy the past week. You did a remote at the Global Connect. You did another remote at the Ecuadorian Chamber, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've done three in like the last 10 days, and you and I got a chance to work last Thursday night.
Yes, we did.
At the Global Connect 38 Binational Chambers of Commerce, and I saw you interviewing people of every ethnic origin.
It was
and
fun.
Country across the. I mean, you were hopping. You were busy. Yeah.
Well, you kept bringing them over.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm going to tell you up front. You know, Kelly's one of our guests this morning, and she said right. She's a little nervous. Well, man, they were bringing me guests last Thursday night. They'll hand me a business card, interview them.
That's going to be good training for you, though, because we're doing a remote broadcast at this book festival thing you've got.
The Decatur like Book Festival,
right?
The largest independent book festival in the United States, usually draws about 70,000 people. It's Labor Day weekend, and Right Choice Services has a booth there, and Business Radio X is doing a remote from my company's booth on that Saturday.
Fun stuff.
How's that for a plug for everybody?
Yeah.
Well, let's get down to business. Our theme this morning is that people write books because they believe they have a better approach to a process or a program or an idea or even a presentation, actually just about anything. And their better system emerges from their unique perspective of the world and what they do. And that's a simple yet critical truth about writing. And so today's show provides a look into the vision and perspective and ideas of two individuals. Brent Sampson is the founder, CEO, and chief marketing officer of Outskirts Press, a custom book publishing solution. And Kelly Vandiver founded and owns Communications for Everyone. And Kelly is a highly successful professional speaker and trainer. You know, if you've been listening for some time or go into the files and listen to the MP3, you know I have a policy of ladies first, but this is the second week in a row we're going to abandon that policy and go with one of our guests, because Brent is calling in from Colorado, and God love him, it's 2 hours earlier, and he's up and ready to go.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Well, Brent, as I mentioned, is the founder, CEO, and chief marketing officer of Outskirts Press. Brent has written several books, and after years of frustration and turmoil as a writer at the mercy of what he believed was an outdated industry, the publishing industry, Brent set about to establish a better way to get published. Good morning and welcome, Brent.
Good morning. Good morning, Stone. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Kelly.
Could you write off the top, share with us what are some of the frustrations you encountered that you refer to that motivated you to create your own company?
Well, I think probably the primary frustration was the one that a lot of writers face, which is the frustration of being rejected. So, you know, I was writing since I was about 9 years old, probably. I'd kind of clack away my stories on an old Remington typewriter, and
Boy,
that would be sprinkled across the keys as I was writing stories. And you know, throughout junior high and high school, I actually started submitting sample chapters and queries and all of those submissions to traditional publishers, traditional literary agents. And in a lot of cases, I would start to collect rejection slips, or, you know, very rare instances, I would get something back from one of the publishers or the agents, alluding to the fact that they were impressed that I was doing this at such a young age. But, you know, nevertheless, it was a no. And I faced that for a long time, and then eventually just overcame that by creating, you know, what's become Outskirts Press, so that I could take my destiny into my own hands and start to publish the books, which is what I wanted to do.
Well, that's exciting, you know, but one of the cardinal rules of being a writer is to be in love with rejection. You learned that.
I don't know about that.
That's what I was told. You have to love rejection, and it's just no fun. Well, Brent, you went big time with what a lot of people do. Some folks just simply create a publishing company on paper, so to speak, for publishing their own book, and then they go find a digital printer to make to do the books. Why did you decide to create an actual printing publishing company?
Well, I might not be in love with rejection. I was certainly in love with the result of publishing my book, you know, seeing the books out as a physical product, very high-quality product on Amazon, having something tangible to market and promote. All of those things were really wonderful, fulfilling, and gratifying experiences for me. So by combining what I felt was a sound business model with the opportunity to deliver that type of experience and feeling to other writers, I thought that was just a great combination, and I've been fortunate in the fact that it's proven to be the case where it has been a great combination. I've been able to be rewarded by helping other authors fulfill their dreams and get the same experience and feeling that I did the first time when I published a book. It's really great.
There is something about holding that book in your hand and saying, this is mine, huh?
Yeah.
Now, I want to know, did you do what I do when my first book came out and I knew it was on Amazon? I emailed my wife at work and said, go to Amazon and type in my name. And she did it while we were still on the line together. And all of a sudden, I heard this scream. And I knew she'd seen my name, my book, my everything. Did you do something like that with your friends?
We really try to share with our authors all of the types of things that they should do on Amazon to get that kind of a reaction from their friends and family and colleagues. So, you know, I don't want to dissect it away from the emotional impact because it certainly is a big one. And I'm sure that I had that first experience when I first published my first book. But now that we've done it for thousands and thousands of authors, I just try to live vicariously through them every time their book is on Amazon, and we can really see the excitement and sense the excitement from them because we'll get tweets about their book being on Amazon or their comment on Facebook, on our Facebook page about it, and all of these reactions that we receive from our authors when they become published are just overwhelming sometimes. We'll get a video from someone who will record as they're opening their book for the package that we deliver to them of their books for the first time, you know, and they'll have tears in their eyes and they'll jump for joy. And all of these things are just wonderful, rewarding for us as a company. So it really makes, you know, all the frustrations that I did face earlier, you know, all that much more gratifying now.
That's intriguing. I never thought about videotaping the opening of the box and holding that first book. You must have some fascinating videos then.
Yeah, I mean, we have one particular one that I am thinking of where this author, he'd been working on this book. I can't remember if it was 10 years or 30 years, but, I mean, you could sense the sincerity and almost kind of, it was even like trepidation in his trembling hands, and because he was actually filming it live as he was about to look at his book that he'd been working on for like half his life, you know, actually come into fruition and hold in his hands the physical product. And it was really, really heartfelt, and I'm getting shivers now just remembering it. And I think it's on YouTube. I can't remember the name of the book, unfortunately, but I can certainly remember the look in his face as he's holding it, and he just becomes speechless on camera. It's really, really, really touching.
You got to be happy about that one. Yeah. Now, in your response there, you said you've helped thousands of people. I'm going to hold you accountable. Have you really? Or
yeah,
is it
yeah,
like 850?
I just put a blog post in on my blog this morning where we're talking about kind of ways that you can dissect the information that Amazon gives you about books and about publishing companies. So I was like, well, you know, I'll dissect Outskirts Press. So I was looking at the amount of books we've put onto Outskirts Press, and I took this screenshot from Amazon at the beginning of this month, and we had 7,300 titles on Amazon.
Oh my,
and
that
that's
is.
Just the books that are under our publishing name. We also do private label publishing, where we'll perform all of our services on behalf of authors, and they'll use their ISBN, they'll use their imprint or publishing name. So that doesn't include those books, which we've also helped lots of authors with. So, yep, literally thousands and thousands.
So putting it in a framework of something I asked you earlier, those private labels are the people who create a publishing company on paper and then turn to you to do the actual work, right?
Right. Yeah, we do all of that stuff behind the scenes then for them on their behalf. We do all the grunt work and they get all the glory is kind of how I position it for them. And you know, for speakers and attorneys and lawyers and professionals of just every variety, they really love that opportunity to, you know, create that platform have us do all the heavy lifting, because obviously, you know, publishing a book requires just a whole variety of different elements to put together. So we become their project manager, basically, and bring together an editor to them on their behalf and a cover designer and a book interior formatter, and we get the ISBN for them from Balker and their name. We do all of that stuff, and it's a convenience and it's a service. Mm-hmm. These aren't things that anybody can't do themselves. Anybody could do all of this stuff themselves with the right amount of time and the right amount of knowledge. We just do it for thousands and thousands of people all the time, so we're very efficient with it, and that's where we're able to do something that has a huge value for a relatively inexpensive price.
And it is a time-consuming kind of thing for the layperson to do, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's something that they can teach themselves how to do, but they have to learn how to do it. So then you ask yourself, how much is your time worth to do something which you might be able to do, but even if you finish it, is it really going to be up to par to what a professional service firm might be able to do on your behalf for you? And it's no different from going to H&R Block to get your taxes done or going to Grease Monkey to get your oil changed. It's a service for a convenience for a fee, and it helps people really deliver to the world a high-caliber product.
That's great. Now, publishers such as Outskirts are often referred to as a subsidy press or a self-publishing company, but you referred to yourself as, man, I had it in my introduction and I'm blanking on it, but what do you prefer to call Outskirts? How do you differ from the competition?
Well, you know, in general terms, we call ourselves a self-publishing company or a self-publishing firm. And one of the ways we try to differentiate ourselves from other self-publishing companies that are out there is I'll often put the adjective of a full-service or a high-quality self-publishing firm on top of that. Because by indicating that it's a full-service kind of one-stop shop, we're able to communicate to our authors and our clients that when you come to Outskirts Press, you're able to get everything from ghostwriting to editing to children's illustrations if you're writing a children's book, through the publishing process, and then on the back end, a whole variety of marketing and publicity services and products, all from one location. You know, you have a team of people who are familiar with you as a professional. Mm-hmm. They're familiar with your book and your manuscript and your goals, and we're able to leverage our experience to bring all of our, you know, people together, our artisans, you know, we call them, whether they're a cover designer or an editor, mm-hmm. all to task on one particular goal, which we learn from you what your goals are, and then we deliver that product as best as we can. So I really feel that we're differentiating ourselves in the fact that we're a one-stop shop for people who want to get all of that really high quality deliverable for the purposes of either fulfilling a lifelong dream or a professional goal or aspiration to help their career. Whatever it is, we deliver it for them. And in most cases, they choose to publish with us for a variety of reasons. You know, they get to keep 100% of their profits, 100% of their rights, all of these things. But in some cases recently, we're even having authors who choose to use our editing services or our illustration services or our marketing services, even if they're planning on publishing elsewhere. You know, we realize that there are a lot of publishing choices out there.
Wow.
So now we provide a la carte, full quality, full service, high quality services, even if they're going to publish somewhere else.
Well, that's
them to go somewhere else, but of course, you know, they can choose that, but we're going to give them the benefit of a lot of our services anyway. So
great.
Now, Brent, I understand that you've written 4 books. Can you give us a little bit of a feel for those books, and do you have any more in the works?
Yeah, the book I think that we're talking about in relationship to this topic on air is the book that I wrote called Self-Publishing Simplified, which is really the conceptualization of Outskirts Press, how an author can use our system to publish their own book and then market it. So it's really more of a 108-page brochure about how Outskirts Press can help authors. But in addition to that, I wrote a little handbook called Publishing Gems. I wrote an Amazon bestseller called Sell Your Book on Amazon, which really takes all of the things that Amazon offers to writers and really dissects it down to the basic nuts and bolts of what any writer, wherever they've published, can use the tools that Amazon makes at their disposal, and it helps them walk through those steps of using Amazon as an author platform, because Amazon is a great author platform if you know how to do it. I've also written a couple of children's books, so...
Wow, that's impressive. Children's books, I think, are some of the toughest things to write. What motivated you to do that?
you know, it's funny now that kind of the barrier to entry for publishing has become so low through, you know, companies like mine. The difficult task really is writing the book, you know, and we're trying to solve that too through ghostwriting services. It won't be too long before somebody can have a book ghostwritten, you know, through Outskirts Press, publish it through Outskirts Press, have it marketed through Outskirts Press, and all of a sudden they're a professional with this beautiful book, and they didn't have to do very much to it. You know, that's kind of a world that we're starting to live in. And in children's books, on the other hand, you know, there's two aspects to a children's book. There's the writing of it, and then there are the illustrations. Well, we've really come up with a way to really help authors with one of the most challenging parts of a children's book, which is the illustrations. We have like 70 different illustration styles to choose from. So one of the purposes in my writing children's books was to kind of use that process. I wrote the words, and then I used our services to illustrate it, because in a lot of cases, I'm kind of the guinea pig for our company. Whenever we launch a new service or a new product, I want to put one of my books through it, so to speak.
And see what it's like.
And have it come out on the other end so that I can really speak confidently about the benefits of it, the hurdles, so that I can solve those logistics and all of that stuff. Because and foremost, I am a writer. That's why I started.
So which do you prefer, being a writer or being a publisher?
You know, they both definitely have their different benefits. I love being a writer because I like, as you said, you know, seeing your book on Amazon, having people hold it or read it or reading the reviews. All of those things are really wonderful and emotional. And on the other hand, you know, being a publisher allows you to share that experience vicariously with other people over and over and over again. You know, I obviously couldn't write 7,300 books, but by being a part of those 7,300 books in some small manner, I get to experience that surge of adrenaline and that excitement on behalf of our authors and writers all the time, and that's really great. I love that. So.
Well, what advice would you offer to business leaders who want to write or are writing a book?
You know, we have a lot of professional writers. You know, obviously we have a lot of grandmothers too, or people writing for their legacy or their memoirs and all of that stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. All of that stuff is great. But we also have attorneys and doctors and speakers and CEOs and professional athletes, people who are starting businesses or have started and managed businesses. And all of these people use our services to do what I've basically done with Self-Publishing Simplified and what the topic of this show is, which is to write a book that's filled with your specific knowledge about your specific topic and put it into a high-quality product that enables you to do a couple of things. One, it enables you to build upon your platform or start to establish a platform, a professional platform, if you don't have one already. It also allows you to open up a whole other marketing opportunity, because when you put your book on Amazon and people search for certain keywords because they want to learn about something and your book props up, all of a sudden you have an advertising vehicle that is, you know, you might make $5 or $7 or $10 by selling the book, sure, but what you're really doing is you're selling yourself. You're selling your company or your services or your speaking engagements or what have you. And that's really beneficial to have a book. So my advice really is, if you fall into that category of a professional and you don't yet have a book, you need one. You know, just do it, as Nike says.
I need to put in a disclaimer that I did not forewarn you, nor did I pay you for that, right? Because you did well, and I like that. Look, we got to move on, but how do people contact you?
The easiest way to get started with Outskirts Press is, like everybody, is to go to our website, and our website's at outskirtspress.com. You can set up a professional publishing consultant with a $35 deposit, and that person's going to, you know, help you set and establish your goals, deliver a custom publishing profile to you to help you kind of pinpoint exactly what services you need that we provide or that you might want to look at other services, and is going to evaluate your manuscript once you submit it to us. And that $35 deposit is then applied toward the cost of whatever publishing service you ultimately end up getting. So there's really no risk and no additional cost, and you immediately get a jump start on your publishing goals. And that's at outskirtspress.com.
Okay. Well, I need to say that you've already agreed to stick around while I interview Kelly, and then you'll join back in with us when we're done with Kelly, and we'll have a round-robin conversation. So if you'll stand by.
I'm certainly looking forward to listening to Kelly, absolutely.
Good. Well,
Kelly Vandiver is a professional career fascinating. 20 years of management experience as a military officer. I didn't tell you that, Stone. We need to be on our best behavior here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Kelly's had years of a military officer and a manager in four Fortune 500 companies. You're an award-winning speaker. Kelly helps organizations crank up their content and create killer audience interaction using old-school and high-tech techniques, all the while annihilating bullet points and making this a better world for business audiences everywhere. I really like that.
Amen.
Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Tim.
So your book is in process, right?
That's correct.
Well, what is the goal or purpose for your book?
Well, the goal of my book is to help a need that I see when it comes to presentation skills that I don't think already exist in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. When I have read tons and tons of presentation skills related books, and they are fabulous. They have a lot of great detail in it. But a lot of the folks that I work with don't have time to read those books. They don't have time to study the world of presentation skills like I do and I love to do. So the book I'm writing is a way to help them get the information, five things that they can do that will improve their presentation the most without having to become a student of the skills of presentation.
And that's any kind of presentation. That's not because you are a member of the Georgia National Speakers Association. You are a professional speaker.
Correct.
But this is if somebody has to talk to the Rotary Club or the Lions Club, you'd be glad to help them, or your book would help them deliver something with punch.
Right. And more focused would be on the business type of presentation.
Mm-hmm.
There's presentations going on all the time across the country in different companies, whether that's internal presentations to different departments within an organization, or it is presentations for the general public about product releases, about different things that a company is doing, or product demonstrations. All those different types of things that businesses need to be able to communicate. They need to be able to communicate orally through a stand-up kind of presentation. And again, they have real jobs. They have things that they're doing, don't necessarily have time to read the different presentation books that are out there and learn everything that there is to learn.
Well, research indicates the two things that people fear most, public speaking and death. Let's talk about the one that you're dealing with, you've mastered. Were you ever fearful of public speaking?
No. I never have been. Fourth grade, I asked to go to summer school so I could be in the theater play thing that they had going on during summer school. I've always loved to be the center of attention. So I don't particularly have that fear, although I have worked with a lot of folks that do have that fear and definitely understand that it is a real apprehension of people. It's not something everybody wants to do like I do.
But I'm sitting here grinning because what did you say to me as we walked into the studio
this morning?
I
said I was really nervous. My hands are sweating.
And there's only Stone and me and you in the studio and Brent listening and thousands of people.
That's right. Thousands of people on the internet radio.
But you've never been afraid of speaking. So that's cool. So you're taking something that you love, and I can see it in your face as we're talking, and you're really providing a service to the public through this book that's distilling all of this vast amount of information. What do you think you'll take it down to? 5 points, 6 points,
yeah,
three?
Yeah, I'm debating that. I think it'll be five or six. Five is I like odd numbers better, but I'm just really struggling to put a couple of them together to see if they really would fit together to make five. So don't hold me to the five, the six. It may end up being seven, you start getting carried away. You start doing what the other books
then you
do,
get nine
and
11.
Right, and then you have the same problem that people have had all along with
too much
information to get to make a big impact right away.
Well, that becomes book two and then book three.
There we go.
One of the things I've learned in my own writing is that through marketing, odd numbers are remembered better.
Mm-hmm.
So five or seven.
I know.
Again, that's research. It's not something I came up with. I'm intrigued with what you're wanting to do with your book. You know, my book, Writing Secrets, is designed for people who are just going to start writing. And there are a ton of books out there on how to write. Right. And I just found my own particular niche. What enabled you to stumble on, I hear you with that very particular niche of you take these things and you can speak.
What stumbled upon?
How did you come up with that?
Well, it's funny. One of my mentors, I asked him. I'm very involved in Toastmasters. Have been for about 10 years now. And when I decided to start this business, one of the questions I asked my mentor was, why do people pay you? Why don't they just go to Toastmasters? Because Toastmasters is a great organization. It helps people overcome the fear of public speaking, or it's for people like me that want a captive audience. It's a great organization. and he said, time. Time is the big factor. They don't have time to devote to the meetings. They don't have time to do all the things that it takes to do the Toastmaster thing, so that they pay him to help them get what it is that they need for their presentations.
Okay, that makes sense.
So as I keep reading more presentation skills books as new things come out, all along I kept going, I don't need to write a book. Everybody else has already said it. It's hard, and they've said it really well. What could I add to it? And then it occurred to me that we're a quick fix kind of society. We like to do things quickly. We need that instant gratification. And there are some small things that people can do to be much better in their presentations, much more impactful. And instead of trying to boil the whole ocean, what are those few things that they can do to really make that impact?
And I want to encourage you in that, because there is all that information. Remember what we're talking about.
There's a lot of bad speakers too, or less than engaging. Can you share an interact? Because this idea of engaging the audience and audience interaction, I mean, it's so critical. And we've seen really great engaging speakers, and we've seen less than engaging speakers. What are a couple of things that we should be doing, those of us that don't make a living speaking, but we need to be engaging when we are up in front of a group of 10 or 10,000?
Well, it starts with the audience, really knowing and understanding your audience. And that's more than just a conversation. I worked with a large, you'd know their name if I said it, company here in town, and I was going to do a training session for them. Well, when I talked to the management about what they were wanting to get out of the training program, I also asked them to describe the organization and what they were doing and how they were doing it. And they said they had made this transition from doing their training in one particular way and had decided to change some roles around and do it in a different manner. So they had me come in and do a presentation on PowerPoint for their training organization. And as part of my process, in addition to talking to the managers and the people that are hiring me, I also want to talk to people that are going to be in the audience or potentially could be in that training class. And when I asked my contact for that contact information, he heard that little hesitation in her voice, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm messing this up. It's a really big client. I really want to do good with them. But I'm glad I persisted and got the names. Because I found out that while the management had said it was pretty nice and everything was going well, there was still some tension between the two different groups. And if they were in the same room with me and we were doing the training that we were going to be doing, and I didn't understand that could have been a really bad situation. So by taking that extra step and really getting to know that audience, I saved us all some misery, and I also got a lot of other benefits out of it. I was able to incorporate some of their information, their stories into the training. I was able to tailor my message so that it was appealing and engaging to them. Instead of it being about me and Kelly, it was about their processes and their training and what it was that they were doing for their internal organization. So just focusing more on the audience. And I think so many there's a few egos in the speaking world. I don't know if you knew this. So instead of being so focused on the speaker themselves, spending that extra time and really getting to know the audience, doing your homework.
Well, there's that piece. And I remember, I think it was the June Georgia National Speakers Association talked about their three people on every seat. And I, you know, there's the person that's there and the person that's there whose mind is elsewhere. And I think the third one was the person who's there, whose mind you want to be with you, and that the speaker has to capture all three of those. That's just another dimension of what you're talking about. Right. And it's doing that homework that helps make you better.
Exactly, exactly. And I can't tell you how many groups I've spoken to that have said, nobody's ever asked us these things before. No one's ever taken the time to get to know the people in our audience. And it's not that hard.
No.
it's really not, but it's taking that extra time.
Well, that's part of the element of writing a book, too, because you're not just writing to the world. You're writing to a specific target, and you've got to be able to identify them. There's so much, from my perspective, so much similar between professional speakers and those who want to write. Well, what do you hope this book is going to do for you professionally?
Well, I like the idea, something that Brent said about the book is kind of the brochure for his business. Well, this book will be, I hope, a bit of a calling card for me. People will be able to pick it up and get value out of it, but they'll also say if they want to take it to the next level, maybe they'll say, oh, let's call Kelly and see if she can help us with
that'd be sweet, wouldn't it?
That would be cool.
And we really want to push that so that if they want to call you even now, how would they be in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me. My number is 770-597-1108, people can call me on that number. Or I'm reachable by email, Kelly with a Y, .Vandever, VANDEVER, @ communications with an S, for everyone.com, world's longest email address, yes. And also you can tweet me on Twitter @ Kelly Vandever.
Okay. And you, on a daily basis, you coach people, is that right?
Right. Maybe not every single day, but I coach people, whether it's through the written word, I blog a lot, or individuals that I'm coaching. I also do the training classes as well. Training classes or public speaking.
Great. Teaches. Well, you have done well with your segment. Are you ready for me to bring Brent on in again?
Sure. That went by so fast.
it did go fast. And Brent, are you back there with us?
I am. I've been listening. Very, very interesting.
Great. Who has a question for each other or for even Stone or me? Man, that would be a change, wouldn't it?
Well, I just wanted to comment kind of on a general theme that I was listening to as I was reminiscing on what I had said and then listening to what Kelly was talking about, that the common theme for just a lot of professionals is the time or the lack of time to do all of the things that they want to do on their plate, whether it be write a book or publish a book or learn how to speak or find time to go to a Toastmasters meeting. And that's really kind of the general consensus of what we're talking about today is services that both Kelly and I provide to address that very issue, that lack of time to help somebody accomplish what it is they want to accomplish.
And I want to throw myself in there, too, because through my writing company, we coach people through that process. We would be like a small arm of what your overall company does, Brent. Let me ask the two of you to respond to this, because I think you'll come back at it from different directions. Brent, what's your biggest challenge as a publisher when people come in and they want to be published? What I'm looking at is, what's the biggest... Oh, I never thought about that. And Kelly, what I'm looking for from you is, as a writer, what was the biggest thing you've... Oh, I hadn't thought about that. So there you go. I don't care who goes first.
Well, we'll give this an opportunity for ladies first.
Okay.
Kelly?
Well, I guess one of the biggest O's that came to me was finding my voice as a writer. I started blogging as a way to... force myself to start writing. And in writing my in writing articles on the blog, I've bounced between Miss Formal Business Etiquette Lady and somebody trying to make it a little more fun and engaging, because we need more fun and engagement in our world. And so one of the things that I've recently been struggling with, or trying to figure out how to balance, is having a little bit of a goofy, off-kilter kind of voice, but mm-hmm. also, will that be respected in the business community, and or do I need to be more formal in my writing? So I'm still working on that, still struggling with that. But it wasn't something I expected as I started writing.
And that's key. That's big. That's something I often, when I work with my clients, have to work with them to find that voice. Yeah. Okay, ladies went first. Now, Brent, what's yours?
You know, I'd say one of the largest challenges that we face when an author is starting to work with us is trying to create a sense of patience in them. Kelly was right when she said we live in an instant gratification world. And we're facing competitors, which are basically, they're machines. You know, an author can submit their manuscript on one end, and 24 hours later they get something that sort of resembles a book on the back end.
And I've seen some of those, Brent.
Right, and it's difficult for me to face that kind of competition with a straight face, because it's like, how long did it take you to write this book? You know, months, years of time and commitment, and that's the fate that you're bestowing upon it. It kind of makes me sad, but I understand that people want something to happen right away, especially if it's taken months or years to write a book. They want the final product. They see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they want to get there quickly. So when authors are coming to us, we really try to communicate to them the importance of, you know, really making sure the inside is beautifully formatted and that the cover is awesome, because that's really the one thing that people are going to see on Amazon or Barnes & Noble when they're looking for buying a book is that cover. It is so important, and it's a cliche because it's true. People do judge books by their cover, and the importance of getting it edited and just making sure that all of the I's are dotted and all of the T's are crossed, so that all of that time that you invested in writing the book doesn't just become this pile of dung on the back end through something that's really, really, really
well. Quick. That's kind of that. So. That's a good picture. We got that one. But you know, I like what you said. You know what? I'll tell you what I run into, and your people may run into this as well. And Kelly, this is a big hint, and I know it's not an issue for you, but when I start to edit work for my clients, some of them get really against, you're editing my work. I mean, I wrote this.
Oh, no, I know. I'm going to need several editors.
Oh, man. There are, you know, this is like scripted words from God. How dare you change that? Do you ever run into that, Brent?
Of course. That's exactly, you know, kind of one of the things we have to deal with. It's a challenge when we face authors. And in a lot of cases, it's true. You know, one of the things we market is that they get to keep 100% of the control of their creativity. It's one of our competitive advantages, actually, as opposed to dealing with a traditional publisher where they're immediately going to take the reins from you and go in whatever direction they think they want to go is best.
Yeah,
that's the real difference between self-publishing and going the traditional route.
Yeah.
So we understand that they're coming to us with that set of expectations, but on the other hand, we've published thousands of books. We've worked with thousands of authors. To some extent, we kind of hope that they come to a place where they're going to rely upon our expertise, or at least value our opinion in some things. And editing and covers is certainly two of the biggies that we really, really highly recommend they put some investment into.
Well, I have a much easier answer when I get that from my clients. I look at them and say, for 25 years, I was a minister, and I had to preach every Sunday, and I'm absolutely convinced that God provided me with what I was supposed to say, but God also expected me to give it my best shot, and that never came out in the first draft.
Yep.
And there is no comeback to that one. There hasn't been yet. So, well, I got to tell you, the clock is on us. And I welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. So if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Stone, for co-hosting and keeping me on track, as you always do. And thank you to our guests, Brent Sampson and Kelly Van De Ver. Brent, your contact information one more time.
It's a pretty easy one. It's outskirtspress.com is the best way to find out about our company and about me and about how we can help you as a writer or a professional. Outskirtspress.com.
And Kelly, your contact information.
Well, I'll do the short version, communicationsforeveryone.com.
Okay. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or listen to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. The MP3 version is available, we like to say later today, but it's probably going to be tomorrow. But I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.